Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 13, studying Matthew chapter 13, is part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we begin, these reminders. Our programs air thousands of times each month all around the country, but they do not air continuously everywhere. But you can have unlimited access to all of our materials, always free, by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For a listing of all of our materials, simply send an email to free@ighradio.com. To receive IGH 260 text updates, text the word IGH free to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word. Text IGH free to 55222. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, use our completely free, self-paced online Bible study program. Get started by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer to study by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request that series by using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get into our study of Matthew 13. Here's where we were at the end of our last broadcast. We noted that Matthew's gospel appears to be intentionally planned around 5 major discourses given by Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that's the first. The second, the limited commission to the 12 in Matthew 10. The third, the kingdom parables in Matthew 13, our present study. The fourth, Matthew chapter 17 and 18. And the fifth, Matthew 24 and 25. Though verse and chapter divisions can be helpful, we must not assume that everything taught about a topic or about a principle ends within the confines of just one verse or even just one chapter. We must learn to read large segments of the text without regard to verse or chapter starts and stops. What's interesting to note are the natural demarcations, the natural starts and stops presented within the text that the writer intended for the reader to recognize. We saw that in the Beatitudes, where the first and the last Beatitude bookended that whole section by using the same phrase. It started with Matthew 5:3, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and it continued through Matthew 5, verse 10, where that expression once again closed the Beatitudes. The importance of natural organic breaks can be seen in these 5 verses, each of which indicates the stop break of the 5 major discourses that we outlined just a moment ago. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Matthew 7:28. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Matthew 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. Matthew 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Matthew 19, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he sent to his disciples. Matthew 26, verse 1. What's so important about these 5 verses? If you listened closely, you noted that each one makes reference to Jesus ending or finishing the teaching that immediately preceded that specific verse. The first verse, for example, Matthew 7:21, appears at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the first large discourse. The second passage, Matthew 11, verse 1, not only opens the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, it signifies the end of Jesus' instructions to the 12 in the prior chapter, Matthew chapter 10. In this setting, our study of Matthew 13, verse 53 puts a period, a natural stop, to Jesus' kingdom parable teaching in this context. The fourth major discourse, from the Mount of Transfiguration through Matthew 18, stops when Matthew 19, verse 1 tells us so. And then the last major discourse, Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 ends when Matthew 26 verse 1 tells us that Jesus had finished all these sayings. Yes, there are other discourses that appear throughout Matthew, but none of them are set off with this distinctive ending phrase as these five are. What does this mean for our study of Matthew 13? We are studying something, the parables about the kingdom of heaven, that Matthew, through the Holy Spirit of God, wanted to emphasize about Jesus' teaching. And that means, of course, that we are studying parables about the kingdom of heaven that Jesus himself emphasized. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, we note that these verses introduce the first of an extended series of parables. The first parable centers on an agricultural illustration in which a sower, planting seed, parallels the preaching of the gospel. We are aware of that parable because we have seen, or we have heard, this account many times before. But the initial audience was not privy to Jesus' explanation and meaning of the parable until later. Remember, parables often took common, everyday actions or objects and cast them alongside an analogous and an even greater spiritual storyline. In this first parable, the picture that Jesus painted would have been well known in the agrarian culture of Galilee. A sower planted seed. More than likely, the seed was scattered by hand. Occasionally, however, seeds were placed in bags with small holes in them and were scattered as either a person or an animal walked along a designated stretch of field. This rather imprecise method of distributing seed caused the seed to fall in random places, hitting diverse types of ground. That's reflected in Jesus' details within the parable, and it's significant given the application that Jesus will make. As Jesus presents the parable, reflecting the reality of seed sowing, seed fell onto four types of ground. Some seed fell by the wayside, along the paths that were found throughout the fields and the vineyards, and the birds ate that seed. Some seed fell on stony places, areas where the amount of soil covering the underlying rock was rather thin. That seed initially took root, and it started to grow, but because the earth there lacked sufficient depth to sustain plant life, what sprang up withered away immediately under the heat of the sun. It's important to note that the details that Jesus presented in this parable accurately reflect the soil conditions where he spoke. Some of the scattered seed fell among thorns, but the growth of the thorns exceeded that of the seed, and eventually the thorns crowded and choked the crop that it was intended to yield. And finally, some of the seed fell on good ground. It produced a crop, yielding varying degrees of bounty. Jesus closed this parable with the words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That expression, or something similar, appears many times in Scripture. Its meaning comes across as both obvious and obligatory. It's obvious in the sense that in order to hear, you must have ears. It's equally obvious that everyone has ears, thus making everyone capable of hearing. But the obvious part centers on the physical, the auditory meaning of hearing. That's the obvious and thus the easy part. The obligatory part, "let him hear," will always be the more difficult of the two. The words "let him hear" are not just a statement of what we are always doing, but rather a command, an imperative to hear. We all hear physically, automatically, without an intention on our part. But the "let him hear" command demands hearing with intention, not just to hear, but to do whatever we are directed to do in a given setting. The assumption, better, the expected behavior that Jesus presents. We should be as ever-present hearing in the sense of obeying, doing, as we are ever-present hearing physically. Everyone always has ears. Therefore, everyone must always hear, not just in the sense of physically hearing, but in the sense of obeying. The problem, though everyone always has ears to hear physically, they are not always willing to submit to everything that they hear, that they learn. In context, of course, it means to hear and to obey what Jesus teaches. That the seed fell on varying types of soil, representative of varying kinds of hearts, tells us that souls are often more likely to be characterized by physical hearing rather than by spiritually surrendering to God's will. Moreover, even among those who hear in both senses, physically and spiritually surrendering, there are varying degrees of yields produced by those souls. That's not intended to be critical of those who produce less in comparison to those who produce more. We each yield according to our ability. It's simply to note that two major differences exist about the impact that the seed, the word, has. First, there's the difference between the seed continuing to root, grow, and then fail to produce a crop, compared to the seed that does take root, does grow, and then actually produces a crop. And then second, there are differences in the yields of the good soil. The difference in the first case, a difference between what God does not desire and what God does desire. The difference in the second case, though the amounts differed, all of these positive yields were acceptable to God. In Matthew 13, verses 10 through 16, we note that this section of the chapter explains why Jesus used parables. It was introduced by the question that the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" This section of the text tells us that parables, though figurative explanations of valuable spiritual principles using common day-to-day illustrations, also functioned as filtering mechanisms to determine one's level of spiritual interest and insight. How do we know that? Note what Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 11, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Remember, Jesus directed these comments to the disciples who asked him why he spoke in parables. That means that Jesus used the word "you" to apply to his disciples. And it also means that Jesus used the word "them" to apply to everyone else. That makes it sound like Jesus wanted the apostles to know the meaning of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, because it had been given to you, but that he, Jesus, did not want others to know the meaning of the parables, because to them it has not been given. Does this passage teach that Jesus selects who will know truth and who will not know truth? In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and answer that question. This reminder as we conclude, consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org, or you can click the online courses link at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. If you prefer to study by mail, then call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.